Get your family vehicles ready for summer driving with early Memorial Day deals at Dobbs. Click on GoToDobbs.com for money saver tire and service deals today. Dobbs, with 43 locations, real deals are always close by.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
With Cardinal World Series champion Brad Thompson and Chris Ronji, I'm Randy Carricker. It is the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN in St. Louis. And we go now to the Brown and Crouppen Celebrity Line. And Tim Woolgar is a former chess boxing title holder. What is chess boxing, Randy, you ask? Well, it's a hybrid. Combines two traditional pastimes, chess and boxing.
It's kind of in the name, isn't it?
Yeah. And the competitors fight in alternating rounds of chess and boxing. And Tim, it's good to have you with us on 101 ESPN. How are you today?
It's good to be here. I'm great, thanks.
All right, Tim, let's just start with the question that you're going to get every time for the first question. How?
Why?
Why and how?
How or
yes,
why?
Both. You know what? Let's go with how.
Let's go with how and why.
You've got to try to imagine it like a chess game where the two players, every 3 minutes, they'll get up and have a short fight. And then sit down and carry on the chess game. And the chessboard is set up in the center of the boxing ring. The two guys will walk out, sit down, shake hands, and begin the game. And the crowd is around, so you've got a real kind of cockpit atmosphere. A lot of live commentary explaining how the game is going, and it's a really energized environment. And then at the end of that, at the end of the round, when the bell goes, the game is preserved. You know, you've probably made about 10 or 15 moves usually, but the game's really only still in the opening phase. You have to carefully take the chessboard out. That's one of the skills of the sport, is getting the chessboard out without dropping the pieces. And then the contestants strap on their gloves. The bell rings again, and you've got a three-minute round of boxing, which just goes in the way that we're all familiar with. And then you go back and continue the game.
Tim, how the hell do you sit across from somebody and play a game of chess that just punched you in the face?
Well, you'd be surprised, actually. It's a lot easier than you might think. I don't know how to describe this, but if you've played chess, you'll know that there's an awful lot of kind of pent-up emotion and so on that goes with playing chess. It's one of those sports which really you can't take lightly. It's a life or death struggle. So playing chess is one part of it. The boxing comes almost as a release after that, and you feel great.
So how often does it happen? All right, forget about the boxing part. So what you're saying is that you can be playing chess against somebody and you really want to punch them.
I think it's almost inevitable, yeah, that's how you feel during a game of chess at some point or other. Yeah.
Really?
You can tell I've never played chess.
I have, but
have a game sometime. You'll soon get it.
Tim, I have a couple of questions about the sport here. Number one, when we watch boxing matches, so much care and time is taking in boxers applying their gloves. So what happens between rounds here? Do they actually take their gloves off so that they can play chess in the next round?
Yes, that's right. You've got quick-release gloves now, thanks to the miracle of Velcro. So we use those type of gloves rather than the fully lace-up, taped-in ones.
And then the other question I have is, when the players are in the ring playing chess, they're wearing headphones. Why is that?
Yeah, well, that's the reason why that is because as the chess game is being played, you have a live commentary team, like pundits, etc., explaining the moves and the potential threats for each player so that the watching audience is more engaged in the action. It's not like going to a World Chess Championships final where you sit in the audience hall and everything is so silent you can hear a pin drop. It's not like that. Each move is explained and potential threats are illustrated by the team, so you can become more engaged while watching it. But of course, you don't want the people in the room, the contestants, to actually hear that, because you may be laying a trap, or you know maybe missing an obvious threat is one of the weaknesses you might have, you know. So you don't want the commentary team to explain that and give one player an advantage, and so that's why the headphones there, to block out all sounds from the audience, from the commentary. You know what? Again, you might have a friend in the crowd saying, hey, well, move your queen. You know, you're about to get checkmated. That would ruin it.
Yeah, all you can hear is your head pounding. I like that. That's a good idea. That's a little bit smarter. Hey,
Normally, we play some music in there. So depending on how sadistic you're feeling as a promoter, you can choose which music you want to put them off a little bit.
I love this. I love it so much. So I wonder at this point, the idea is to be balanced. You got to be a really good, a really smart chess player. You got to be able to handle yourself in the ring as well. But have you seen throughout this, is there an advantage one way or the other? Does a more highly skilled boxer have an advantage, or somebody that's so tactical on a chessboard? Is there an advantage one way or the other?
Well, yeah. I mean, it's a very interesting question, and one which we've slowly began to get a picture of, I suppose, over the years. I mean, I think that maybe chess is, to some extent, the slightly more difficult discipline to master. So if you started out at a young age playing chess, you'll have covered a lot of ground, which it's hard to catch up with if you're starting later on in life playing chess. But as with any sport, you don't have to be a chess expert to get involved in chess boxing, or even to rise to quite a high standard in chess boxing, because you are always going to be matched against someone who is of a similar ability. It's part of the matchmaker's skill to try to kind of put people of equal level against each other. So I would say, if you're thinking about taking up chess boxing, don't be put off by any force of limitations. You know, if you learn to move the pieces around on the board, you can take part.
But what about the boxing part? I mean, you gotta train for that.
Yeah, that's true, for sure, of course. And I would say most people can go from zero to ready to compete at a novice level within 6 months. Most reasonably fit people, yeah.
How difficult is it to think? Because chess is all thinking. So how difficult is it to sit down and think after you've traded punches with somebody?
Yeah, well, that's the beauty of the sport. It really is such an interesting challenge to have to make those analytical decisions and calculations whilst you've got that high, you know, level of adrenaline pumping through your system, and you're out of breath and sweating and even in pain. You know, it gets hard, but it's also a very rewarding sport as well to take part in.
I would have to think that you'd have to make riskier moves, too, if you think you're about to get your ass kicked in the next round.
Oh,
is that
yeah.
about right? Like, do you have to be more aggressive and hope to go for the kill if you think you're on the ropes already on the ringside?
Yes, that's it. You know, or maybe if you're in trouble on the chess, what you want to do is to maybe try and slow your game down a bit, play some kind of non-committal moves to try and preserve the position as much as possible, create a defensive fortification around your king, and then when the bell rings for your boxing, now's your chance to really flatten the guy. So you see that happening a lot. You know, people, you know, just trying to stonewall a little bit, then coming out fighting. But it goes the other way too. So it's an interesting nuance that the sport can go in that kind of slightly imbalanced way sometimes.
So unless I missed it, you win by either getting a checkmate or knocking somebody out. Whatever happens first, right?
Yeah, fundamentally, that's what we say. Checkmate or knockout, whichever comes first. I mean, there are a couple of other ways of winning that are important, because the chess game is always played against the clock. So both players have an equal amount of time to make all of their moves. And if you run out of time, you lose. So that's another way the game quite often will go. In other words, if you're put in a tricky situation and you have to think for a long time about your move, that's giving your opponent an advantage. And if you think for too long, you run out of time. So that's the third way the game can, the match can finish.
And Tim Woolgar will mention again that you are a former chess boxing title holder. How did you lose your title?
Well, I retired my title.
Go out on top. That's right.
That's right. So, I was the British heavyweight chess boxing champion, which I won by being one of the only chess boxers in Britain at the time. So to put that achievement in perspective. But I did manage to hold on to the title for 2 or 3 years. And then after I took a dignified retirement from top-level competition, I retired my title, and it's currently held by a young Briton called Cameron Little.
Well, we all know he can't hold a candle to what you've did.
That's right.
I know that much. Hey, you got me thinking, though, quick, Tim. You got me thinking, how many weight classes are there? Because I don't know why I was just thinking, hey, if you could play chess and box, you're all going to get thrown into the same ring, but there must be different classes.
Yes, I mean, the championship titles that we have are in welterweight, middleweight, light heavyweight, heavyweight, heavyweight. Yeah, that's kind of like the normal old-school boxing divisions. And, we'll try to match people's weights as well. You know, sometimes you get there are some variations within that, and we will maybe create a light welterweight, a light middleweight as well sometime.
Which of the guys that you fought do you hate the most?
I don't hate any of them. Surprisingly enough, all of the chess boxers I've come across with have been really good guys, and so usually you end up being very good friends with your opponent at the end of it.
There's not even
Sorry
one
to say
guy,
that, but it's true.
Not even one guy got under your skin.
Hey, listen, there may well be one or two people like that, but I'm going to keep that as a, secret of the sport.
All right. Okay.
Tim, this has been an education for us. We can't thank you enough, and we hope that you and your family are safe and taking care of yourselves, and we can't thank you enough for coming on with us today.
Okay, it's been a pleasure.
Appreciate it. That is Tim Woolgar, a former chess boxing title holder, and by the way, retired as the champ. He didn't lose his title.
Yeah, I think that was a great question, because a very big distinction. Everybody just thinks somebody stripped that away. Mm-hmm. The Cameron guy who's holding it right now, that's fake at this point.
Totally fake. And from my understanding, and I know he didn't want to say anything, but he probably hates Matthew Reed.
You think so?
And Stuart Telford.
Stuart,
those guys
suck. What a nerd that guy is.
Oh, yeah, totally.
The worst.
Wow. He's kind of probably a Tampa Bay Vipers fan.
Chances are.
Oh, yeah.
Chances are at this point.
And Hubert Van Melick, he hates that guy.
Oh, my God. He's not even a good boxer.
No, he's.
Do you think that you can start with checkers boxing and then move on?
Oh, yeah, because like the really good ones are playing chess, not checkers.
That's what I'm saying, but baby steps, right? It's like the minor leagues.
Right.
So, you guys know the event Slap Fighting, right?
Yeah,
where they sit at the table and they slap each other.
We tried to get some slap fighters, but they're all Russian. Nobody speaks English.
Oh, what the hell? Isn't there slap boxing also, or am I crazy?
Mm-hmm. There should be.
I mean, slap boxing is a game that you used to play as a kid, right? Like in the halls, like where you had to throw it as a flat hand, but you're boxing really still. Slap boxing.
Oh, I'm sorry. Slap chess is what I'm thinking. Where you're sitting at the table and you slap the guy across from you. Does that exist, or did I imagine it?
I hope it is. And I hope that there will be a checkers MMA soon, too.
That'd be great.
That's a really good idea. You sit back down at the table bleeding.
Woo. Next up, if the 2020 season can be salvaged, MLB says anything is on the table when it comes to scheduling and changes.
Anything?
Anything.
Anything?
Anything?
Got some ideas.
We'll find out about that next in the Fast Lane on 101 ESPN.